This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. In the circumstances, it was probably fitting that they chose Priest Island for the name alone. As the most remote of the summer isles off the northwest coast of Scotland, it was a logical place to lie low for a while. But the two men must have at least raised a wry eyebrow at each other when they clocked what it was called. The sun was setting when they arrived on the 12th of September 1975, tired after the 12-mile journey by rowing boat from Ullapool. It wasn't a rough crossing, but that hadn't stopped the bag of cash they had with them among their belongings from being thoroughly soaked. With their upper-class accents and the pipes clenched between their teeth as they helped unload supplies from the boat, 56-year-old Sidney Miller, known as Jim, and John Bellard, 48, were, on the face of it, unlikely fugitives from the law. Even beyond appearances, the two former lay preachers had established and run a nursing home for retired clerics, worked tirelessly for charity, and counted high-ranking clergy and senior police officers among their circle of friends. The idea that these pious, philanthropic bachelors might have half the police forces in Britain out looking for them, well, it was preposterous. But they hadn't decamped to the appropriately named Priest Island for a camping holiday and a bit of fishing. Priest Island was a hideout until the heat was off. Three nights earlier, Miller and Bellard had hosted a small champagne reception for the staff at Honeywood House, the nursing home for retired clergy near Horsham in Sussex that they'd run for 20 years. They were off on holiday to France. They set off, waving cheerfully the next morning, and everything was perfectly normal. Although a couple of staff members thought it a little strange that they both carried only their briefcases when they left. A couple of days later, a postcard arrived from Calais in which they sounded excited about their travels ahead. But after that, nothing. Miller and Bellard vanished. It was only then that a pretty wild story began to unravel, one involving bishops, blackmail, a TV organist, racing cars, a psychic from Alpington, some church organs that didn't exist, and 232 nights camped out on a remote Scottish island in the depths of winter. You can even throw in Julie Andrews and the occult, although not together. They'd been running, as you can probably imagine by now, quite the racket. Miller and Bellard established Honeywood House in the late 1950s as a rest home for infirm and elderly Anglican clerics. It had belonged to the infamous Evan Morgan, Viscount Tredegar, terrible poet, friend of Goering and Rudolf Hess, and a man whose occult beliefs proved too wacky even for Aleister Crowley. Morgan died in the house in 1949, but any lingering associations with the dark arts were long gone by the time Miller and Bellard started moving decrepit vicars into the building. The home proved a great success. Julie Andrews became a patron, and Miller and Bellard entertained bishops and similar pillars of the community to dinner and drinks parties on the premises. They were even building a bungalow on the grounds, ready for the Bishop of Guildford when he retired. While their personal wealth increased, Miller was a motor racing fan who sponsored and mentored a number of drivers, including Dave Morgan, who competed briefly in Formula One in the mid-70s, their tireless charitable work and selfless natures never made this remotely an issue. Both men were also enthusiastic organists and had noticed how decrepit many church organs were becoming. So in 1969, they launched Southern Organs, a retail business that eventually boasted 9 shops across Kent and Sussex, supplying church organs and the snazzy, newfangled electronic versions that were sweeping the US. And that's when the trouble started. Once the men had vanished, it emerged they'd been running a pretty sophisticated scam, drawing up hire purchase agreements for new church organs and asking friends, associates and Honeywood House staff to sign them. The clergy, they explained, would never be granted the credit required for these desperately needed instruments, but if the agreements were made in someone else's name, that person would be doing the church a huge favour. I mean, who wouldn't help out a needy vicar? Especially with upstanding citizens like Miller and Bellard assuring people that this was a formality and all perfectly legal and above board. It wasn't, of course. Nothing like it. The contracts were spread between a number of financial institutions and used to secure some pretty hefty piles of cash for organs costing up to £7,000. That's the equivalent of, give or take a few grand, £100,000 today. And these organs never actually existed. There were, it emerged later, 1,600 of these agreements knocking around, bearing the signatures of 78 different people. Something like £1.25 million were unaccounted for by the time Miller and Bellard did their bunk. That's about £18 million today. Yet, even though they became two of the most wanted men in Britain for a while, some influential friends still refused to believe the men were at it. The Bishop of Woolwich insisted, "They were, as far as I knew, reputable people, and I still think so." On the other side of the coin, Harold Smart, long-time organist on the TV quiz show Take Your Pick, was owed a fair wadge of cash for expenses and for shows that he'd played for them. "They influenced a great many people," he said, tactfully. Talk of this French holiday was, of course, cobblers. As was the letter they'd left behind, with instructions to open only if they were not back in a month, in which they confessed to everything and said that they were going to kill themselves rather than live with the shame. What actually happened was this. Once they'd sent the postcard from Calais, they'd hot-footed it straight back to Dover, where they were met by an employee from the nursing home, the only person they took into their confidence. He drove them north all the way to Ullapool, and then rowed them out to the uninhabited Priest Island, helped them unload their supplies, and left them to it. 232 nights Miller and Bellard spent on that remote outcrop. They pitched tents in the ruins of an old crofter's cottage, well out of sight of any passing vessels, and hunkered down for the duration. They boiled up roots to make tea and collected shellfish for stews, spending an entire Scottish winter under canvas, which is really saying something. In the spring of 1976, believing much of the hoo-ha to have died down, they left the island and took up residence in a caravan at the bottom of a garden in Ullapool, where they spent most of that blistering summer of 1976, until the man who'd rowed them to the island finally caved in to police pressure and gave up their location. Information a psychic from Orpington also claimed to have given the police, which the police didn't deny. At their trial at Lewis Crown Court in January 1977, the defence team argued the men had been blackmailed for many years. They wouldn't divulge the details in court, but apparently it was something to do with a high-ranking cleric using Honeywood House to conduct an extramarital affair. Whether that was true or not, who knows. Most of the money was never recovered, though. The bag of cash the pair carried to Priest Island contained £13,000, and that was it. Blackmailed or not, it wasn't enough to stop Miller and Bellard being sent down for 6 years each. They only served half that, however, and on their release returned to Priest Island with a BBC Everyman television documentary crew, telling their story. Some of their old friends still stuck by them, even as the harrowing details came out at the trial, the Bishop of Southwark insisting, "They just did not understand the world of finance, and I don't think they intended to defraud anybody. All I can say is, they bit off a bit more than they could chew." They never went back to Honeywood House, eventually settling in Derbyshire, where Bellard died in 2003 at the age of 75, and Miller in 2009, aged 89. Priest Island, their home for five cold, wet, windswept months, is now a designated nature reserve administered by the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. Honeywood House is still a nursing home, one with absolutely no connection now to the great organ scandal. Or to the occult, for that matter. At least, so I assume. That was a coastal story. I'm Charlie Connolly. The usual thanks to you for listening, and for listening this far. If you are enjoying these stories, do please rate us and leave a review wherever you can. If you're not enjoying these stories, give it to yourself. We're on Twitter at Podcast Coastal. That's at Podcast Coastal. And if you've enjoyed this story enough to want to buy us a pint, you can do that at ko-fi.com/coastalstories. That's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. And I'm very much obliged to you if you do, Squire. Details, as ever, are in the show notes.